I ought to remind you that it's a week from Monday that the papers are due. I don't want to be any misunderstanding about it. I've discovered that any time of year, the term in which you set a paper is always the wrong time. They're always due about the same time. But this is short, as you know. It's plus or minus 8 pages. And, I don't imply that a short paper is easier to write than a long one. Last time I spoke about the Quaker manner of worship as being as going back to the beginning, and that's why I was willing to take it up at this stage in the course, and continuing, at least in part, of Quakerism to the present time. The other collective activity of friends is the business meeting. At least that's what friends call it. It's the all churches have to have both a time of worship and a time of executive action. And I'm referring now to the second of those as carried on in the Society of Friends. And the reading for this week, I believe, told you something about the formation of the organization of Friends and the set of meetings in which practical matters were considered. Neither the idea of worship collectively nor the idea of collective direction and control of business matters is peculiar to Friends, but the peculiarity is in the way they do it. And their manner of conducting business meetings is in some ways as distinctive as the matter of worship. It's also as primitive in the history of Quakerism. And I may also say that just I don't know what persuaded Friends to worship the way they did, what precedence they had and so on, so I'll have to admit I don't know where they got this other phenomenon from. But in the short time we have today, I'll try to say something about it as a distinctive feature of Quakerism among religious bodies. But let me tell you that the subjects which they discuss in these meetings are often just the same as would be discussed in another church body, like what they'd call a synod or a presbytery or the local business session of a denominational church. There come up in such meetings a good many difficult problems. And in a democratic group, like the Friends monthly meeting or quarterly meeting, it's expected that everybody can have a right to an opinion and to express the opinion, no matter how old or young or what their sex, and that these opinions will be pooled. But what they don't do is to take a majority vote. That's the way many organizations operate. I think you know from your experience in what we call parliamentary procedure, that is the majority vote method, that a lot of it's pure routine and not very simple. Matters discussed in the meeting, you can tell right away, that there's going to be a nominating committee brings in a report, and most times the meeting just accepts it, but there's usually a vote taken in the two sections. Another committee brings in a report, and they've been appointed and have the confidence of the group, and their vote will be accepted. So that Very often there is a unanimity that is can be expected, and there's not any problem. But where there is a difference of opinion, that's when the problem arises. And in the parliamentary procedure, that's done by counting hands, is it not, votes. That's not done in a friends' meeting. In fact, they are aware that it's not always a very satisfactory way. They're aware that if a majority wins right off, there's left a minority, which probably is unconverted of the view of the majority, and sometimes the minority is unsatisfied. And sometimes it comes out that a snap vote like that was made in a hurry, that not everything has been considered and heard, and that it has to be brought up again. I don't know if these were the reasons, but I think what I might call more religious reasons affected the Quaker selection or adoption, ultimately, of a different method of procedure. And for one thing, the Quakers believed that the business meeting was as much a place where they ought to find the will of God as the meeting for worship. That believing as they did that God could reveal himself to anyone, you would find out whether the people present had collectively a joint opinion that might seem to be their understanding of the will of God for the matter before them. It's customary in a friends' meeting, and always has been, to carry it on in the spirit of a meeting for worship. That means probably beginning with a period of quiet, perhaps of prayer or quiet, and ending the same way. And if during the course of the meeting things become somewhat complicated, and no progress seems to be made towards a united judgment, sometimes the meeting will stop and just pause for a period of devotional quiet. The presiding officer is chosen as an officer of the meeting. But chosen mainly to try to help the meeting arrive at a common judgment. And, of course, he presides. I mean, he helps. He introduces subjects that are due for discussion at the meeting. He has an agenda, usually. And he also sees that everyone has a chance to speak. And he tries to see that the democratic process of participation is carried on perfectly well. And after the discussion seems to have come either to a decision or to an impasse, he tries to sum up where the discussion has arrived at. If it comes to a decision, he writes right there in the meeting, he writes a short minute saying that this matter was discussed and the meeting decided so and so. If it's a complicated minute, he always submits it to the people after he's written it. He says, is this the sense of the meeting? And anybody that thinks that part of the minute isn't quite accurate or that doesn't quite express the sense of the meeting, he'll accept their criticism and make the change. You had a question, yes?
How is the presiding officer chosen? How is he obtained his post?
Okay.
How does the presiding officer
chosen? Why, usually for a term, and by a nominating committee, and the nominating committee brings in a report that so and so is suggested to serve as, they call him clerk, not the chairman, but clerk usually, and he is appointed to serve for a fixed term. Of course, that has to be done. I mean, that choice is made, same way. There's not much chance for politics here. Furthermore, I guess you understand that Quaker isn't a place where prestige of office makes much difference. Well, now if there's a difficult situation, if there have been quite opposite views expressed, then the meeting will not proceed. We will not try to settle the matter until some way is found of overcoming it. I don't want to suggest that this is just a matter of compromise. I don't think compromises are often very satisfactory. What the meeting is there for and what it is trained to wait for is unanimity. Beginning with diversity, listening to contradictory points of view, its ultimate aim is to try to arrive at unanimity. Not by out-arguing one another. Not by scoring debating points. Not by speaking so effectively for your side or your opinion that you simply snow under the opposition. But rather to recognize, and a trained group of friends understands this, that they're not trying to find out the majority opinion, but to find a universally satisfactory decision. It sounds more idealistic and impossible than it actually is, for two or three reasons. One is that the temper of the meeting is not a temper of heated debate, but rather a temper of devotional attention to the spiritual good. The people are trained to know that this is what they're aiming at. When you go into an ordinary parliamentary meeting, you go in saying, now, I know what I want, and I hope I can help carry that point. Well, that's a natural human opinion, and we're all a little statistical and think that our idea is the will of God to begin with, or something else. If you know that the temper of the meeting and the purpose of the meeting is not to choose between opposite sides, see what can be united in, then I think everybody is willing to wait until that can be done. It makes a difference from the very beginning, you see. But at the same time, you often find, not out of perverseness on the part of the people, that there are two honestly and sincerely held, modestly held but sincerely, opposite views. And then you have the problem of what you're to do in that case.